They've been working for months on healthcare reform in Washington, but recently it's all been sidetracked by a debate over abortion. The Senate is going to meet today and debate a new abortion amendment that's almost identical to a similar amendment passed by the House. The amendment strictly prohibits the use of federal dollars or subsidies to pay for an abortion or for a plan that covers abortions with any federal dollars. We're going to answer your questions about this in as straightforward a method as we possibly can. Joining us right now is Jessica Aaron. She's the director of the Women's Health and Rights Program at the Center for American Justice. And also on the line is our own Washington correspondent, Todd Zwillick. Good morning, Todd and Jessica.
Hi, good morning, Celeste.
Good morning.
All right, I want you to listen to this comment from Nebraska Senator Ben Nelson.
For more than three decades, taxpayers' money has not been used for elective abortions, and it shouldn't under any new health reform legislation either.
Okay, Jessica, there is already a federal law in place that prohibits federal money from going to abortions. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. It's called the Hyde Amendment.
And is there wiggle room there? Is there a way to squeak by through this? Supposedly the health care reform bill is trying to cover a gap?
Well, it's important to understand that the Senate language already does include something similar to the Hyde Amendment, where it would provide a way to have abortion in the plans in the new health market exchange that don't use federal money to pay for abortion. The private premiums would be segregated from any public subsidies that people get in order to help pay for their premiums, to pay for their health care packages. And that public money wouldn't be touched to pay for abortion services. Only the private pot would be used for that.
At this point, as we speak, most health insurance plans cover abortions, do they not?
Yes, in the employer market, the typical plans do. That is the standard.
So has that increased the number of abortions that women have gotten, or are women with health insurance plans that have this kind of coverage more likely to get an abortion than those who do not?
No. The accessibility of abortion is not linked to the rate of abortion. What's linked to the rate of abortion is people's access to contraception and other ways to prevent unintended pregnancy. So in countries where abortion is widely available, the rates actually are usually much lower than they are in the United States or in places where they're even more restricted because access to contraception is widely available in those places as well.
Jessica, and to a certain extent, Todd, I'm a little perplexed by this amendment. I mean, if insurance companies audit their funds and can separate the private money from the public money, aren't they able to defend in the case of lawsuits which say that they're using public money for abortions? Aren't they able to basically make the case and continue to offer these services? It feels to me like the insurance companies are just caving based on this amendment. Jessica?
Well, the insurance companies don't have much choice in the matter right now. It really is up to what Congress does. And Congress has already said in the Senate legislation, we've decided it's federal policy right now. We're not going to have government pay for abortion. But you have the choice, insurance company, to choose whether or not to cover abortion. The difference with what Senator Nelson has proposed and what is currently in the House version of the bill under something known as the STUPAC Amendment, that goes farther than saying we don't want public money going to pay for abortion. What happens under those amendments is that they say we don't want public money going to any plan that covers abortion, even if public money isn't used for the abortion services themselves. What that's going to do, in effect, is create a huge disincentive for insurance companies to cover abortion, and we expect that if these amendments go through, there will be no abortion coverage in the new health insurance exchange, and that will be a change for women who currently have plans to cover it.
So, Todd, I want you to listen to this comment from Senator Claire McCaskill.
What this amendment does is goes further. It actually says you can't use private money in a private market for any kind of health services related to abortions. And frankly, I think that goes too far.
She sounds like she's agreeing with what Jessica Aaron says. Todd, are people using this as a way to restrict abortion coverage?
Well, Senator McCaskill is actually going the half step further than what Jessica said. The Nelson Amendment doesn't actually say what McCaskill just said, but that would be the secondary effect. At least that's what pro-choice people are afraid of, that insurance plans, because money's fungible, and if the amendment prevents insurance plans that want to be on the exchange, these are private plans, from offering abortion. If they take any federal subsidies elsewhere, they'll just say, well, we're not going to offer it at all. And therein would be what Senator McCaskill's worried about. There's nothing in the actual amendment that says they may not offer it even if it's private, because it's a legal procedure and the money's private. You can't really do that, or else the Supreme Court would probably have to step in. But they're worried that plans would just take flight and wouldn't bother covering it at all.
Todd, what do the politicians get out of bringing up this debate? I mean, they obviously knew that abortion was going to side rail the debate on health care reform. What do they get out of it?
Well, it hasn't quite side-railed it just yet. We'll have to see what happens. There are ways out of this. But look, Celeste, this is a really high-profile bill. I don't think that the public has paid this much attention to legislation in the Senate, probably since the Iraq War authorization in 2003. I mean, this is probably the most high-profile thing since then. The fact that so many people are paying attention and will remember the votes on this bill means that the political forces, the kind of red meat politics on both sides, really feel like they have to be part of the debate. In addition to that, I think we also have to take some of these members of Congress just at their word. Bart Stupak, Ben Nelson, they're concerned about it. They're concerned that because this exchange is a weird mix of the public and private, you know, these are private plans on the exchange, mm-hmm. but government subsidies are coming in, plus there's tax credits. They see the waters getting muddied. And they see the waters getting muddied, and that you don't have the kind of traditional separation of public funds and private abortion that we have in the law now.
Okay, that's Todd Dvalik, the Takeaway Washington correspondent, also Jessica Ahrens, Director for Women's Health and Rights Program at the Center for American Progress.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.